Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Goodnight Show with me, your host, Daniel Van Kirk. It is Thursday, May 21st, around 12 a.m. Rochelle, Illinois time, and I am glad that you are here. Let's welcome another person that I am very glad is here. He is the producer of this show, helps me out so much. His name is Noah Eberhart. Noah, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dan.
Hi, buddy.
How's it going?
Good night to you, my man.
Good to see you.
Let's tell everybody else how they can say goodnight to us. You can contact us by calling 609-955. That's 609-644-4855. Or email us at thegoodnightpod@gmail.com. You can use that information to send us a half-page ad for your own business. We want to promote you, so send us a little ad that takes about 30 seconds to read. And if it fits within the guidelines of what we do here on the show, we might just promote your business. Also, you can send us your positive stories, sex and relationship advice questions, and recommendations for things to read, watch, or just be entertained by in general, which is what we are doing today. Again, that's 609-NIGHT-55. That's 609-644-4855. Or thegoodnightpod@gmail.com. All right, let's jump right into today's show because I always feel like we have so much to talk about, and we certainly do today as I'm into some new stuff and some other things have wrapped up. We'll start out with TV. I am watching The Imagineering Story on Disney Plus. Noah, have you seen this show?
No, I have no idea what it is.
Do you have Disney Plus?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. I would go so far as to say, if you don't, get into some sort of share plan with some friends or something and get a hold of it. So the Imagineering show, or Imagineering story, I guess as it's properly called, is a like a documentary series about the role of Imagineers in the story of Walt Disney World. And Disney as a company, they ended up doing like things for the ballparks and restaurants and stuff that Disney ended up like venturing out into with like ESPN Zone and stuff like that. But it's an amazing story. I think we talked about this recently on an episode of The Goodnight Show where we look at things as they are and accredit like success to them because of what they stand for at the moment or what they represent. But a lot of times we don't think about where that the humble beginnings of that starting and just the vision of Walt Disney is amazing. It's unreal. Kind of like the chances that he took. They don't feel like chances anymore because everybody like, well, it's Disney. But you know, at the time back in the 50s, it was what he was trying to do was laughable by a lot of people. And Disney was for a very long time. I was up until Eisner took over in the 80s, Disney was still a very relatively small company. It had huge pieces of IP, intellectual property, for anybody who doesn't know. They had things that just kind of lived in the culture, but they weren't necessarily I would say like this dominating force in media or in business as a whole to like the American economy. And I know there's a lot of people who like Disney does certain things wrong. There's a lot of things Disney could do better, but at its heart, it was founded by a guy who just wanted to create a place and a product that made people happy. And there's still that there. That doesn't mean that it exists everywhere. That doesn't mean there isn't ways that they can get better, but I commend them and I love them for that. So the Imagineering show is, I mean, it's just amazing like what they do. And when if you spend a lot of time at Disney, as pen pal listeners will know I have, you just, there's a thing about it you can't put your finger on why it's different than every other place, every other Six Flags, Magic Mountain, Knott's Berry Farm. This really touch. I think the intangible is the Imagineer, and it's really, really something to behold. So I highly recommend it. You should check it out. I think you'll really dig it.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah,
it sounds fascinating.
It's super interesting, man. And the characters, no pun intended, that kind of make up this cabal of people who have kind of been the like spark of ingenuity and heartfelt, genuine, this is going to sound weird, manufacturing, mm-hmm. is pretty pretty impressive. It's really, really, really cool. Another thing that I've been still just loving is Gilmore Girls. I recommend it to any, if you have not, if you wrote this show off as just a collection of like knit shirts and leather jackets from the early 2000s, you are not wrong, but it is so much more than that. And I'm loving it. You know what else I started? Have you seen High Maintenance?
I love High Maintenance. I've been on the High Maintenance train the whole time.
I don't know, Noah.
It's fantastic.
I don't know. I am 3 episodes in, and if you remember, it might be too long ago for you because I think this is around 2016. The 3rd episode is called Grandpa, and it's about a guy who has a dog.
Yep.
That was too hard to watch, man. There were many times in that episode that I just wanted to turn it off.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of that in this show?
The show has a lot of ups and downs. What makes it special for people who haven't seen it is it's kind of an anthology.
Oh, so far it's definitely an anthology series.
But it is all tied together by the guy. The guy who is a weed delivery guy in New York. And these are all the stories on the show are stories of his clients. So it's always different. And some of the stories are really, dramatic and sad and heartfelt. Some are silly and absurd and funny. It's the whole show is a mix.
Okay.
And there are definitely episodes that pull on your heartstrings, but that is one of the more intense ones for sure. They're not all like that.
That was hard, man. Like that makes me not want to watch it anymore. And I know I'm speaking of it in a way that is recommending it, but would a person lose anything if they skipped episode 3?
You don't have to watch episode. You don't have to watch Grandpa. If you want it, that's the thing. Is like there are characters that come back at certain plot lines that return, but not. I don't think that one does.
Good.
I hated
it, man. I fucking hated it. Like I'm upset about it.
Yeah, I think that means it was effective.
I would agree,
it's an effective storytelling.
I agree with you. It's just not what I signed up for when I pushed play. If I know what I'm signing up for, then that I'm cool with it. But you know what I mean? Like I didn't want to see an action movie when I went to the theater years ago and saw The Artist. Like that's what I wanted to go see. And I don't know.
Yeah, High Maintenance is one of those shows where it's really hard to put it in a box. It's hard to,
it's hard to recommend.
I recommend it because I just...
But you know, sometimes you can recommend things being like, you're going to love this. And then other times you recommend things because you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't recommend... Like, I can't guarantee someone else would love it. I can tell them what I really liked about it.
Sure.
But... All right, Noah is bullish on it. I am not against it, but if you watch episode 3 and hate it and you don't want to watch it anymore, I wouldn't blame you because that was hard. But Noah says, keep going. So choose your own adventure, friends.
Yeah.
We can talk about something I haven't seen at all. You know what? I've never watched Rick and Morty, and you have it down here. Are you into it, or is it back? Why did you list it?
It's back. It's like the second part of... they split the season up for some reason, so they did half of it like last year, and this is and the second half is coming out now. And you know, I really love that show. I know that I think the fan base has gotten flack for being kind of a toxic fan base,
really?
And I think show's reputation has suffered because of that, but. I enjoy the show. I don't really interact with the toxic fans, but if you've liked other seasons of Rick and Morty, then you'll like this season.
Very cool. All right, awesome. You also watched Patton's new special on Netflix, I Love Everything. Did you enjoy it?
I actually haven't watched it yet. Ooh. I put it on the list just because I want people to know it's out there, and I'm really looking. I'm probably going to watch it tonight.
Well, we'll get a wrap up from you about it. Maybe I'll check it out as well. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll run through some other things, movies, some music, some stuff from you guys, and then if we don't get to anything, we'll do it on the weekend for all you Patreon subscribers. But we'll be right back. We have an ad from a listener, and check this out because it's called Lost Capital Foods. Lost Capital Foods creates fermented hot sauces and mustard in small batches from as much Minnesota-sourced produce as possible. Their chef and CEO accepted the challenge to create tasty condiments with a low sodium content. Not only does fermentation bump up the flavor, it also packs the sauces with healthy probiotic bacteria to keep your gut happy while you enhance your quarantine cuisine. Shipping is available nationwide, so find Lost Capital Foods on Instagram or go for broke and visit lostcapitalfoods.com. That's lostcapitalfoods.com. lostcapitalfoods.com, and check out their online store today, Lost Capital Foods and lostcapitalfoods.com. Okay, we are back. I wanted to do this on the other side of the break because The Last Dance is over. It ended this past Sunday. Noah, did you finish it?
I did.
And yeah. What did you think?
It was really powerful ending. It nailed the landing. And
I think so too.
Yeah, it made me feel a lot of things.
You know, there's like a saying that I'm probably getting wrong. That's like, tragic deaths make beautiful statues. And it's kind of like when something ends too soon, it always lives that way in your mind forever. Mm-hmm. And so there's an argument to be made that as much as there's a feeling that in 1999, the Bulls could have won again. And some people say they couldn't have. I say that they possibly could have because the New York Knicks made it to the finals without Patrick Ewing in 1999. And, you know, if the Bulls were able to keep most of their pieces and maybe add somebody that was half as good as somebody they lost, who knows what they could have done. But the argument to be made that I'm speaking of is that they will never be losers. They will always have been... Like, if they played together as a team and part of a team for 3 to 4 more years and Jordan stays a Bulls forever and leaves 5 to 6, 7 years later, do they make this documentary? Are we still... I mean, sports fans might be talking about those teams from the 90s and what the Bulls were for a guaranteed 6 out of the 10 years, maybe even 1 or 2 more, but... Is it as magical? Does it capture our imagination as much if it doesn't end that way? You know, some people say the greatest thing to ever happen to Pete Rose was that he bet on baseball and got kicked out of it. Because if he wasn't banned from the Hall of Fame, nobody would still be talking about Pete Rose.
True.
Like, true. It kept the conversation about him and his contributions to baseball going. And never let him be forgotten because it never felt right. And so there's some people that say that always, at least for the fan, you'll always have that. But I think if you took something away from this documentary, it was easy to take away that Jordan, in his own words, said it's maddening, that it still drives him insane that they didn't get to keep. You know, he said in the first episode after the win in 97, he says, we have a right to keep winning until we lose. Like playing on a court, you win until you lose. It was, to me, you know, we've made jokes about it and talked about it. To me, it was just something so powerful, especially the stuff about Steve Kerr.
I didn't know any of his backstory, so that was really fascinating.
There's actually a documentary right now being made about Steve Kerr. You know, he coached the greatest regular season team of all time. He played on the greatest regular and postseason team of all time. He went on to win a championship in 1999 with the Spurs. And he won in 93. So he has 5 rings as a player and then the rings as a coach. Pretty amazing life for a guy that just had to work to get in the room. So it was something powerful. I think my biggest takeaways from the show are, if you don't want to play that way, don't play that way, which a lot of people have, seem to have a different interpretation of. To me, it means if you don't want to do the work that's required, then don't do the work at all. Like, if you don't want to play the way you're supposed to play, then just don't play. So yeah, I absolutely loved it. I recommend it to anybody who hasn't seen it. I recommend it to anybody who's listening to my voice and says, eh, but sports ball, it's a story. And stories are the greatest thing I think we have as a race. I think stories teach us lessons, teach us love, teach us history, teach us the future, teach us about ourselves. And so I'm down for any good story. Speaking of stories, though, let's talk about some movies. I watched Snowpiercer again, went back and revisited it for the first time since I saw it. I like the movie more on premise than I do on execution. And I think it's a great movie, but it's weird for me. The farther, it's a movie about the whole, all of humanity lives on a train, and a group of people are trying to work their way up to the front of the train. I won't give away anything more than that, but I will say, to me, as they get farther up the train, the less interesting the movie is. I don't know why I feel that way, but it's. I'd be interested to hear your or other people's thoughts on it. What about you?
Yeah, I haven't seen it since, it's probably been about 5 years, so it's been a while.
Okay.
I remember liking it, but I could understand that as it goes along.
Yeah.
It gets a little less interesting. I could understand that.
I can't put my finger on it exactly, but I think it's great. I mean, Parasite is way above it, in my opinion.
Right.
But it's good. It's really good. And the show actually just dropped. I'd be interested to hear if any listeners have checked out Snowpiercer, right, the TV show on TNT, and let me know what they think. I think it's kind of gotten some mixed reviews. You have down here Mission Impossible. Are you still working your way through it, or are you done?
We finished. We watched Fallout the other night.
The craziest movie. That wow. Helicopter scene.
The helicopter chase is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
What did what was the verdict in your household?
Rebecca loved it. She was like tense the whole time, which means,
but also like there's those effective moments where you're like, this is nuts, right? Where you're like, that's it's so much, and they seem to know that it's so much at certain points.
I mean, she said at the end of it, like what I think everybody who has seen it said at the end of it is like, where do they go from here? What are they going to do next? They have like two more movies in the works. Like how?
Yeah.
What are they going to do to up the stakes?
I know. And they seem to. They always seem to. You say that there's a video game you're playing called Backstabber.
Backstabber.
Diplomacy Online. What is this?
Yes. So Diplomacy is a board game. Imagine if like you're playing Risk, but it's like 5 hours longer and there are no dice and it's just about like making deals with people. It's a lot of fun if you're willing to put in the time. And they have an online version of it called Backstabber, which is just spelled like Backstabber, but without an E.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing that with some of my kind of like high school friends. And it's a nice little distraction. You get to pretend to be a European country around the turn of the 20th century and make deals and stab your friends in the back. And it's a lot of fun.
All right. People should check it out. We have a text here from a listener regarding music. The listener, by the way, is Roseanne. So thanks, Roseanne, in Chicago, for sending this in. The band Loca Connie started a series called Tough Cookies on Thursdays and Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. That would be 5 o'clock Rochelle, Illinois time. It's part concert, part inspirational speech, part music history lesson. Loca Connie is one of my favorite bands. Tough Cookies is the epitome of what LCC is all about, a community of people lifting each other up. I miss live music so much, and this series is the next best thing to being at an LCC show. You can catch their live streams on all their social platforms at Low Cut Connie, LOWCUTCONNIE. I imagine that's at Low Cut Connie. So thanks, Rosanna Chicago, for sending that in. She seems to really, really love Low Cut Connie, and that's enough for me to maybe take some time to check it out. I really appreciate hearing from the listener. Before we get out of here today, a couple of things I want to touch on. A documentary that I watched was called Hoop Dreams. For anybody who doesn't know, this is regarded as the first great American sports documentary. Rolling Stone called it one of the greatest movies ever made, and Roger Ebert called it one of the best documentaries he had ever seen. Have you seen Hoop Dreams, Noah?
I haven't. Where is it streaming?
You can watch it on HBO.
Awesome. I'm going to check it out.
It follows two boys who have dreams of being in the NBA. It follows them all through high school in Chicago's Cabrini Green neighborhood. They have different paths throughout high school, and it is heartbreaking. It is inspiring. It is eye-opening. It's just really, really good. And I think that anybody who hasn't seen it should see it, especially if you like documentaries. But the reason I bring it up, the reason that I made sure that I went back and watched it, is something that I wanted to talk directly to you guys about. On May 29th at, I think, 8 o'clock Rochelle time, I will be doing a charity show. I am headlining a charity show to benefit a man by the name of Sean Harrington. And Sean ties into all of this because he is one of the players of one of the boys that are followed. He's one of the teammates. And Sean made it out. He made it through high school. He made it out to college. And then he came back to Chicago to mentor young boys and girls and coach at one of the high schools that are actually featured in the documentary. And one day, Sean was driving his daughter to school. His car was broken down. He rented a car to be able to keep taking her to school, and he was in a white sedan. What he didn't know was earlier that morning, someone in a white sedan shot at some gang members. He rolled back through the same intersection that had happened in the same type of car, and he and his daughter were shot at. And in an effort to save his daughter's life and shield her from the bullets, he was shot and paralyzed. So Sean is still a very upbeat and positive person, but he needs help to convert the home that he lives in into a handicap accessible living space. And I will be part of this show to raise money for a GoFundMe to help make that happen and to help a person who's given back to his community, who came back to give back to his community, and is now in a position where if we help him, he can continue to do more because he still tries to do that. There are days where he doesn't leave his home for 2 or 3 days at a time because there's no way for him to get in and out of it without somebody's help. He lives with family members that have multiple jobs to just try and be able to keep some standard of living for themselves and for him. So this is a time when I know we're all looking for ways to help each other, and a lot of us need it. But if this is something that you want to help spread the word about, if this is something that you want to watch me do comedy on, if this is something that you want to help spread the word about, watch comedy and maybe even throw a couple of bucks Sean's way to help a person who's really helping their community, you can do that. You can follow me on all social media if you are not. Start looking in my social media. If it's not right there when you look right now, maybe look back a day or two and you will see posts about this event and how you can help spread the word. And if you are interested in seeing Sean in his younger days, you can go to watch Hoop Dreams, or I'm sure Google him and check him out. The last thing before I get out of here is my music. And it is from, The Last Dance. It is the final song that they played. It is a song that has been around for almost 25 years, but I had never heard it. I'm going to play a little bit of it now, and then I will come back and read the credits. When you think about somebody like Sean, and you think about The Last Dance, and you think about how they said Michael's greatest gift was that he lived in the moment, this song is called Present Tense by Pearl Jam. It is amazing. It is beautiful. It is something that somebody like Sean is continuing to try to do. It's something that we should all try to do. And I hope that if you can be a part of being a solution in somebody else's life in any way, you will do that. And if you want to help me do it for this man, you can do that on the 29th. Here is Present Tense by Pearl Jam.
You can spend your time alone, redigesting past regrets. Oh, you can come to terms and realize you're the only one who can forgive yourself. Ooh. Makes much more sense to live in the present tense.
Tonight's episode of The Goodnight Show is produced by Noah Eberhardt. It was engineered and mixed by Brendan Lynch Solomon with production assistance from Ben Zyper and Lissa Rubin. The theme music was composed by Chad Bouchard, and the artwork was created by CM Dugan. You can check out more of his work at cmdugan.com. If you enjoyed tonight's show, you can get more content at patreon.com/thegoodnightshow. There you can sign up for The Goodnight Show Weekend Edition, as well as exclusive weekly episodes of some of our favorite topics. Plus, you can get a supercut of this entire week's worth of shows, as well as access to the entire back catalog of the Hindsight podcast. There are 3 Patreon tiers available, and the most comprehensive option is less than $10 a month. The Goodnight Show is not part of any network, so all proceeds go directly to the costs and people that keep this show on the air. Your support matters and is greatly appreciated. One way to support is to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and tell everyone you know about this little nightly show. Thank you again for listening. I'm Daniel Van Kirk, and remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Good night.